Past several Sundays, we have been journeying through one of the books in the New Testament, the book of James. And we have looked at a topic in this fall series called Authentic Faith. What does it look like when a person genuinely has come to know God personally in the person of Jesus Christ? And so we have looked at a number of very important identifying marks over the past several weeks. Today we will bring to a conclusion this Authentic Faith series, and it's in a message that I've titled A Faith That Heals, James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. So if I could invite everyone to rise with me and corporately as a family, as a church body, if we can read this together. James 5, verses 13 to 20. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring back that back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is God's word. You may be seated, and if you join me in a word of prayer. We thank you for this Advent season, this Christmas season, Lord, as we are reminded that we indeed are people of hope, because as we sung in that opening song, hope came down in the person of Christ. Lord, we pray that as we bring to a conclusion a picture of what genuine faith looks like as lived out in our lives, that you would speak to us now of what it looks like when a community of people who profess that they know you and love you because you first loved us, what that community can and should look like. And so in this great celebratory season, where at the same time we carry heavy loads from our loved ones and our own lives, whether it's physical sickness, whether it be discouragement, whether it be pain of all different sorts in our lives, we turn to the one who indeed can not only provide relief, but truly understands and can bring the healing that we so desperately seek and need. So be with us, Lord, in these few minutes. Speak as only your word can, as your people listen attentively to what the Spirit has to say through your living and active word. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. The past several weeks we have looked at many different topics that James has addressed in terms of what does a life look like when Christ comes to dwell as a Savior and Lord. Today we come to a message I've titled, A Faith That Heals. And so, three things we want to share with us that comes once again straight from our passage, our text. We are called to be, first of all, in answering this question, what are the three marks of an authentic Christian community? We're called to be a healing community. Secondly, we are called to be a praying community. And thirdly, we are called to be a rescuing community. And so we have come to the point in looking at the book of James where we're asking, okay, this is what my life should look like if I truly possess genuine faith, but what does a church, what does a community look like when Christ truly dwells in its midst? And first of all, we are called to be a healing community. James is thinking of those that are in great need within the churches that he has written to. Is any one of you in trouble? He begins in verse 13 of our passage. Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We begin by asking ourselves this question: what does it look like when Christ really dwells among a group of people called the church? And though we have a very long history of over a century of faithful gospel ministry here in the Manchester area and beyond, I believe every generation has to determine what church really needs to look like. We always stick with the same Jesus. We stick with the same gospel, the same scriptures. But every generation, as we grow older, as we pass on, as the next generation raised up, as happened here at Trinity for almost 130 years, has to reinvent itself without changing the gospel. And as time has gone on, we have to ask ourselves that question: what do we envision church really to look like? And James reminds us that first and foremost, we have to be a community that is a healing one. You've heard the analogy as you ask yourself, as we seek to reinvent ourselves for each generation, because culture is always changing, people are changing, demographics are always changing. If we don't change, we will die. How do we do so in such a way that still sticks with the gospel, but we move with the changing times? And James reminds us, if we are a true Christian community, we will be one that identifies as a healing community and place. When we forget the gospel, when we stray away from the person of Christ, his life, his love, his teaching, his truth, we will inevitably forget this, and like many churches, we will be in danger of becoming a museum. A museum where beautiful works of art are displayed that look magnificent and glorious and beautiful, and we walk through its halls, oohing and eyeing, wow, how beautiful, how gorgeous. Maybe one day, if I can get my life and act together, that I could be on a pedestal for the world to see. And we need to make a decision: what does church look like? What kind of community are we? And I believe when James looks at the communities to which he is writing to 2,000 years ago, as applies to us today, we're reminded we have a choice. Will we be a museum for people to gawk at? Why, I can never get my life to look like that, but maybe if I keep on looking at them and try hard and get my act together, clean up my life, maybe I can be part of that museum called the church. No. I think more than the typical analogy of a hospital, I would like for us to think of the church as a healing community that is best represented as a MASH unit. Not this MASH unit, beloved TV series. If you don't know it, you're young. I grew up watching some of this, so I can identify with some of you. But this MASH unit, a mobile army surgical hospital that is set up not in the comforts of back home, but right at the front lines of battle. And as people are wounded gravely, seriously, mortally, they will rescue people. They will do anything and everything for life-saving measures. They'll patch them up, heal them up, but they don't keep them there. they don't bring in the jacuzzi tub and all the fine dining and start to make it into a five-star hotel. No. They patch them up, make sure they're still alive, get them as healthy as possible, and what? They send them back to the front lines to engage in the battle. That is what church should look like as a healing community. We take in those who are hurting, those that are broken, those that are sick, as we are reminded that Christ alone is our righteousness. We aren't the ones on the pedestal telling the world, look at our lives, we have it all together. Maybe if you're good enough, maybe you take enough classes, maybe you get enough counseling, therapy, all these things, maybe one day you and your family could be on the pedestal too. And for so many, when we forget about Jesus as our righteousness, theologians call that our alien righteousness, a righteousness that comes outside of ourselves, looking to the person of Christ. When we forget that, church will become a museum. But James reminds us, looking across the communities, call the church, of those that are sick, those are hurting, those that are in trouble, we are a mobile army surgical hospital that brings in the wounded and the broken, patches them up, loves on them, points them to Christ, and then we send them back to the front lines of battle for the kingdom of God. That, I believe, is the picture of the church according to the Gospels, according to Scripture, and especially here in the book of James. Counselor and author Larry Crabb reminds us that each of us is wounded. For every one of us, honesty about what is happening inside of us will lead to brokenness. Broken people journey together with their wounds, worries, and washouts visible, but are able to see beyond the brokenness to something alive and good, something whole, and that is Christ. One of the greatest, most powerful experiences you could have is to be used by God as you are experiencing healing in your own life through Jesus and His power, His beauty, His righteousness, that God uses you to extend that to others, and we'll talk about that. And as you see that kind of change happen and the healing, that will bring renewal in your own life. When we forget about this, all churches will end up becoming like a museum. It's exactly the state of religion that Jesus found among the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Wow, maybe one day I can get my act together, all my stuff together, and I could be like those leaders, those spiritual people who really know God. But my life's a wreck, a mess. I don't even deserve to be here if people knew all the stuff that's going on, the chaos of my life. And those are the very people Jesus spent time with, sought after, and loved on. When a church forgets that, we are in great danger of becoming a museum rather than a rescue hospital engaged in the front lines of battle. Secondly, James reminds us that, and very closely connected to this first truth, is that we as a church are called to be a praying community. Verse 16 so powerfully states, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When a church forgets that Jesus is our righteousness, not our own, not our accomplishments, not our beautiful shining family in our lives, that we have it all together, no. When Jesus is our righteousness, we will continue to seek God in prayer, and that will be one of our identifying marks. When we forget that, we become like a museum rather than a mobile hospital. When we forget that, we won't be praying, because we think we ourselves and our own beautification can beautify others rather than pointing them to the perfect life of Jesus. When we realize that, we will be a praying community. In our passage, we see nearly a half dozen times James mentions this, the praying individual, verse 13. The praying leaders, verses 14 and 15, call for the elders to pray. Praying friends. Verse 16 is powerful because it's not about leaders or the pastor or the super spiritual, but to all. Confess your sins to one another. Don't be ashamed. Don't be guilty. Don't hide. Jesus is our righteousness, not one another. So we have no shame. We confess our sins to one another. We pray for each other that we can experience the healing. It is prayer and the heart stance that comes along with prayer that depends upon God and knows that He is our righteousness. He is our beauty. He is our power. When that happens, it is prayer that unlocks the power of healing within a church community. A church that forgets that, though they may want it, won't experience this power that is unleashed when we go back to the one who indeed is the healer. And James reminds us of that. Confess your sins to each other and pray for one another. Pray for each other, what? In order that you may be healed. We're not just talking about, well, we got to get more prayer meetings going and then make them more of a program, though I think that's important, and I hope in the new year we can resurrect times where we need to get back into focused prayer. Amen. Yes to that. But prayer, as James reminds us, is powerful in the hands of the most humblest believer that clings to Jesus desperately and knows how to pray for their own hearts, but also for the hearts and lives of others. You don't have to be a super saint. You don't have to be an ordained minister or a Christian counselor or a ministry leader. Anyone can experience being used by God as greater purposes for our lives, because we know that in Jesus Christ, the best is yet to come. And today, as we conclude our series, we have been reminded that faith that is genuine is a faith that brings healing to others as you experience that healing yourself. When a church forgets that, they become a museum showcasing the perfect lives and families of which we are not, but we think we are when we forget about Jesus and His work of grace in our lives. When we forget the marks of an authentic community, we will become prayerless. How important it is that we experience a culture of dependency upon the One who is beautiful and is healing us. And we are one who, yes, enjoys the community, our groups, our ministries, our friendships. Some of you have been friends for a long, long time. But we are also called to be a rescuing community, used by God to allow Jesus and the Father's heart to seek and save that which was lost, to come out of our own lives. We are burdened for others. We're constantly reaching out, praying for others, hanging out with those that God could use to touch their lives and bring them into a saving knowledge of Christ. These are the marks of a church that really understands the gospel. These are the marks of a church that really understands and celebrates Christmas, the arrival of a Savior into our broken world. Let us pray. We pray for the different needs, our Father, that are represented in this congregation, even as John Cheeman has prayed for us. There are so many that right now are hurting so much physically, and today we've read how important it is to be a praying community so that we would see and experience your healing touch in the lives of others. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would remind us that church can never become a museum, but we indeed have been called to be on the front lines of battle, a surgical mobile hospital to rescue, to heal, and send back people onto the front lines for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you have sent rescuers into our lives, that without that mom, that dad, that friend, that teacher, that pastor, that youth minister, that children's leader in our lives, we would not be here today. We thank you for being a pursuing God. And I pray that as wonderful as our community is and the deep friendships, decades long, that some of us have and celebrate and cherish, Lord, remind us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. This Christmas, Lord, and as we enter a new year, burden our hearts in such a way that we indeed would be a rescuing community, bringing the broken, lost, and hurting in our world that you have sent us to the true wounded healer that can transform their lives. That is our prayer, Lord, that you would reawaken that as we celebrate Christmas, as we begin a new year, remind us of the great rescue plan that started with those very words, "Where are you?" We thank you, Lord, all that you have done this past year. We pray, Lord, that we would be kind of church that James envisions us to be. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray.